You know, most days this show works like a well-oiled machine. Even when our staff has a debate about how to cover a story, we can usually come to an agreement. But recently, we found ourselves divided over a critical issue of national importance. Members of the staff were divided into two camps, those who love to brunch and those who hate it. I'm telling you, things got heated as we argued over everything from the menu to the timing of the actual meal. Our producer, Kalyani Saxena, who has a fierce streak of anti-brunch zealotry boiling over inside of her, got into it with senior editor Shiko Theuri, who's known for going out on a Sunday afternoon with people who are eating foods that look like breakfast.
Here's the thing with brunch. I feel like I should not have to have a minimized lunch menu at noon because breakfast is dominating the menu for brunch. Like, the part of brunch is extremely heavy on the breakfast.
I think that depends on where you're going. Because you can get sandwiches, you can get a salad, you can get pasta if you want.
There's not a chance in hell that I'll ever become a pro bruncher, and you have my word on that.
I will accept that challenge and convert you at some point.
With a nerve adequately struck, we asked our listeners to weigh in, and did they ever? Jennifer Schwartz-Ledger of Massachusetts is a big ol' fan.
No better meal than brunch. You can eat anything, pancakes and eggs, beef, tacos, even a glass of wine. Everyone wins where brunch is concerned.
But for Ellen Reich in Baltimore, here's producer Gabrielle Healy reading Ellen's note to us.
I abhor eggs. No eggs is the only phrase I can say in multiple languages. And in general, I don't get excited for typical U.S. breakfast food items. So brunch food is just throwing a sauce or whipped cream on food items that aren't all that exciting to begin with. Hard pass from me. Regarding drinks, if you want to drink in the morning, drink in the morning. No need to dress liquor up with fruit or vegetable juices to make it acceptable.
A few people were brunch neutral, which to be honest is where I stand because, you know, I'm a dispassionate journalist. Chris Travis in Syracuse doesn't like going out to brunch, but he enjoys making the food at home.
I feel that going out to brunch is a bit overpriced. Now, as far as cooking brunch goes, my family and I, we love brunch. That's probably one of our favorite meals. In fact, we do breakfast for dinner quite frequently.
Here's another point of view from a Floridian, Miranda Studevant.
I adore brunch. It's always a treat, even if I'm flying solo versus going with a group. It's always a luxurious indulgence to me because brunch is about an atmosphere and an attitude of celebrating the moment. I think that's why I enjoy it.
But truly, our favorite reaction came from Chris Locke. Chris is the husband of our veteran producer, Ashley Locke.
If I'm going to go eat breakfast somewhere, I want to like roll out of bed and go. I don't want to get dressed up and make like this big spectacle of it. It's f***ing breakfast.
A man so passionate about brunch, he uses language unfit for the radio. Love it or hate it, how did brunch come to hold such a significant place in our culture? Here to help us answer that question is Farah Turney-Kerr, a professor of sociology at Le Moyne College in Syracuse, also the author of Brunch, A History. Farah, the table is set. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So as you well know, brunch can be a pretty divisive topic, as we just heard. It's even led to spirited discussions and debates on our own team as we talk about it. Why do you think people feel so strongly either way about a meal?
Well, I think for some people, it's because maybe they don't like eggs. I think some people, people that prepare brunch, you know, I've heard this from, you know, chefs also talking about that it could be their, you know, least favorite meal to prepare. I think some people, especially when we look at the heyday of brunch between the 80s and 90s, maybe it's flashbacks for waiting in line or episodes of Sex and the City or Gossip Girl, you know? And so I think there's all kinds of reasons that people don't like brunch.
So that said, now that we've gotten that out of the way, tell us a little bit about the history of brunch and how it got its seat at the table, so to speak, in the first place in the United States.
Sure. We can trace it back to British in 1895. That was the first mention of brunch that I found when I was doing my research at the British Library. And then, you know, food trends travel, and then came to the United States by the 1920s and 1930s, where it first really appeared, at least and periodicals and newspaper mentions on college campuses as predominantly an upper class a meal that men on campus enjoyed. And then by the 1950s, you started seeing it become more popular in both women's magazines as well as, like, you know, ladies' home journals. You started seeing mention of Easter brunch, Mother's Day brunch, Christmas brunches. And so by the 50s, you started to see it, but still, you know, predominantly white middle class families. And then in this, by the 1980s, it becomes really popular as chain restaurants, right? You start to see it in places like IHOP, Applebee's.
Yeah. And many of our listeners wrote to us to tell us how much, you know, they enjoy brunch food, things like Eggs Benedict, which turns out is controversial, perhaps, chicken and waffles. How has the typical brunch menu evolved since, you know, 1895, when you saw the first mention of it?
It's evolved a lot. I mean, so, you know, when you look at the beginnings of it, it was largely associated with this hunt breakfast, right? The men went out to hunt, they came back, and they had this big meal with meat and such. And then by the time it becomes part of, like, the U.S. Kind of menu in the cookbooks, we start to see eggs, because they're, you know, inexpensive, become part of this meal. But also we start to see it, like, kind of absorb lots of different kinds of trends. So in the 1980s, you know, this is kind of one of the first waves of, you know, ethnic food, if you want to say that, right? And so we start to see a little bit of that, you know, traces of, like, Huevos Rancheros and fried chicken and waffles and things like that. And of course, there's a lot of debates on how authentic they were when restaurants across the country start serving those dishes. And then also between the 2000s and 2010, brunch also absorbs the trends such as eating organic, eating vegan, right? And hyper local, right? And so the farm to table trend that takes off. And, you know, you look at a lot of the, you know, most popular places for brunch in places like Brooklyn, for example, you know, there's these, like, you know, very small farm to table restaurants that are extremely popular, different than the brunch places that we saw, like, in the 90s. Yeah.
So you've linked brunch to its evolution over the years. You've talked about how on Sex and the City, it was glamorized, Carrie Bradshaw and her friends talking about all their problems over a mimosa. What about brunch and alcohol? A lot of listeners wrote to us about mimosas and Bloody Marys. Can we say that it had a hand in making day drinking socially acceptable?
Yes, it did. And if you look at the history of Prohibition, right, and you really look at, like, the 1920s, there's, you know, that's when we see a lot of these cocktails take off. And it's around the same time that kind of brunch arrives to the United States as well, right? There are still, you know, rules around, you know, what time can you drink on a Sunday? And so, that very much is interconnected.
And clearly anyone who's ever been out to a brunch with friends knows that part of the fun is not so much the food, it's gathering around the table with your friends, right? So how important is the social aspect of this meal compared to, you know, a dinner, which is also social?
No, I think it's really important. And that's where, like, I think when I was thinking about brunch during COVID, you know, the idea of being able to go out with your friends, I think is something that a lot of people missed. And eating food that you really enjoy and eating comfort food, but eating comfort food in a social way that's out of your house, right? An excuse to go out, but enjoy food that you really love, because brunch is an excuse to eat excessively if you want to. If you want to have your Eggs Benedict and your French toast and your, you know, Bloody Mary, right?
And your bacon.
Exactly.
And
in a lot of, yeah. And in a lot of ways, it's an example of conspicuous consumption, right? You're displaying what you can afford to eat as well, right? Can you afford the Lobster Benedict, or, are you getting the affordable brunch somewhere else? Because there's all kinds of status also associated with what kind of food you eat, where you eat it, right? And so that's also something that we can look at in terms of looking at brunch.
And if I were to take the controversial question and ask you where you stand on brunch, you would say?
I don't love brunch. And so I'm very, I know that's not the answer people want.
Why?
You know, well, because I eat
You wrote
breakfast.
A book on it.
I know. Because I like to eat breakfast before 10 a.m. And actually my favorite meal of the day is lunch. And so I know. And so I'm one of those people that almost never skips breakfast. And I actually look forward to lunch. And so, but that being said, I love brunch food. So I love eggs. I eat eggs for lunch.
You get the sandwich, your friend can get the eggs or something. You know, we can work it out. Farah Turney-Kerr, professor of sociology at Le Moyne College in Syracuse, New York, where she teaches about gender, food, and race. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.